Crypto 101 now in session.
Professor, I have a question.
Welcome, welcome, boys and girls, to the first Crypto 101. This is your very first podcast. I lie, it's actually the second one, but the first one didn't go through that well. But we are here. I am the crypto noob, and I'm joined by the FOMO crypto and the professor. He says he's Farmer Billy Bob Joe Crypto, but he's really the professor. So we are here to explain what crypto is. And by now, you definitely would have had to seen it on the news. If you know nothing about it, this is the place to start. And we'll get all your crypto fantasies and explanations explained. So with that being said, Professor, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about cryptocurrency. Just start there.
Okay, so cryptocurrency, what makes it different from just regular currency? It's all digital. It's all focusing about encryption. It's, you know, based off the internet, and it's an encryption code, which allows you to transfer and make transactions across the internet to anybody in the world in a very short period of time for a very low price. And that's kind of a very basic gist of what cryptocurrency
is. So you're basically just telling me it's like internet money.
In a way, but very secure. Probably very more secure than your regular dollar.
So, but in essence, it's just internet money used to what? Like buy paraphernalia from Russia? Like what?
To trend. So what it is just meant to be a form of transacting money digitally. From transacting in a very fast rate of speed to in a secure system to anybody at any time at a very low rate. And so that's what its main purpose is, to become a form of transacting.
Okay, so why can't I just Venmo you the money? Why do I need to have a cryptocurrency?
Well, so that's where everybody's kind of heard of Bitcoin, right? So Bitcoin, that's what it is. It's meant to be a form of transacting, but it holds value. You know, what you see with the US dollar right now, everybody's getting free money. You know, they're printing money like crazy. Whereas Bitcoin, you transact with it just like dollars, but the difference is that Bitcoin is a very a scarce asset. There's only a select amount of Bitcoin. So you can transact with it like money, but it also builds in value at the same time. So there's kind of an enticement of wanting to have Bitcoin because it is very secure. It's on what's called the blockchain network, which is very secure encryption, which nobody can hack. Nobody can manipulate. Nobody can control it. No governments can control it, which is what everybody likes about it. And so you're able to have this secure network and transact this digital currency, which is also gaining value. And also you can transact with it with anybody without anybody telling you you can't do that or that, you know, nobody can stop you from doing that. So that's the difference, is that nobody controls it. It's controlled by everybody who uses Bitcoin or uses cryptocurrencies. And
so, expand on that a little bit. So, and, you know, Kyle, a little FOMO crypto. So obviously, like, the value going up, like fear of missing out on that value. But explain to me, like, as if I was five, like he just said all that. And I understand a little bit of it, but there's probably quite a few people out there that maybe picked up about 10% of that.
Yeah. So cryptocurrency is just a type of currency. And part of that currency is Bitcoin. So you think of it as like a $100 bill. And with Bitcoin, you can, it's its own currency. So you can buy into a Bitcoin. And a Bitcoin, what Bill is saying is how it has value is that, and Bill can kind of explain more of how Bitcoin was created. But basically, if you divide, or Bitcoin has, there's a certain amount of Bitcoin. Bill, what is it? 1 million Bitcoins?
21 million
Bitcoin. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was just 21 million.
Ever. Oh, yep, 21 million Bitcoin that will ever be.
And that's it, right?
So there's and Bill can explain who created Bitcoin, but the cryptocurrency. But basically, there's 20 or 21 million Bitcoins out there. And so everyone is buying into getting Bitcoin. And so you can buy either a full, well, I'll make it a dollar amount, a full Bitcoin because it's one, or you can break up your Bitcoin and buy just fractions of it. You can buy 10 cents worth, or you can buy a certain kind of, like, you break it down into cents. So there's, you can, you are taking your asset, your dollar from your bank, and you're buying a Bitcoin. It's not a physical asset, but it's a digital asset. And that, that Bitcoin becomes yours. And like Billy mentioned, it's, it becomes part of a blockchain, and he can explain a little bit more about the blockchain. But once you buy a Bitcoin, it becomes your asset, and in that blockchain. So the chain knows to deduct however much of that Bitcoin was bought. And so every time more and more people are buying it, the value is going up because there's less and less Bitcoin out there. And so,
And more or less, so it's like, oh, say I wanted to go to Europe, I'm gonna buy some euros. Like, oh, I want to go to, you know, China and buy some yen. So in essence, Bitcoin is just another currency, right?
Yep.
And
so it's a great example. I guess I was explaining to a 5-year-old. So
I'm the crypto noob because I need to be explained like a 5-year-old.
That's right. So you're basically trading your American dollar for a value of another dollar, of, like you said, of a yen, or and so you're basically converting it to something else. But it's hard to think that way in terms of Bitcoin because it's a digital currency.
So without getting too like nerdy and too like exploring the realms of blockchain, Billo, why don't you give us like a brief synopsis of what a blockchain is?
So what blockchain is cryptography. It's encryption, which is like a very secure code written, really secure. It's just a secure code. It's like it's a bunch of numbers, random numbers, and that nobody can hack. Nobody.
I bet you Indiana Jones could hack it.
Shit. No, not even the great Indiana Jones or Elon Musk with his tweets. He can't hack it either.
That's a different story. We'll save that for a different topic. Collusion.
Right. So it's encryption, this is why governments aren't big fans of Bitcoin, because they can't control it. They can't manipulate this code and control it. So it's encryption
they can't tax me on
whenever
it.
Whenever you make a transaction, like say you have a credit card, like sure. Bitcoin is like a credit card. Whenever you make a transaction, the credit card company has to process it. So whenever Bitcoin is being transacted and processed in the blockchain, after so many transactions, a block is created with all that encryption codes, that the code is the transactions. And when one is created, it connects itself with the previous block full of transactions, and they connect, and they have so much coding inside of them that they become more secure. They connect together, becoming a more secure blockchain. That's why they call it blockchain. So as people are transacting with Bitcoin, buying it, trading it, moving it around from, you know, one source, you know, paying people, these transactions are being processed and becoming more blocks, more links in the chain. And as the chain gets longer and longer, this encryption code gets bigger and bigger and more secure and unhackable. And you just can't break it. You can't break the code. And it's becoming more secure as it becomes more popular every day. And so people, institutions, banks, countries are flocking to it for that reason. One of the reasons.
Yeah. Did you say blocking to it or flocking to it?
That's right.
What I heard, it's basically like a public ledger, right? Like if you send your money to Chase, you really don't know what they do with your money, right? Like your money can go anywhere and everywhere. But like through Bitcoin
we know what they're doing with our money.
But I mean, you essentially really don't, right?
I know, yes.
Yeah, like even though my savings account says $25 in it, I don't know where my $25 is. Like, it could be anywhere. But with the blockchain, you know exactly where it is at all times, and everybody knows where it is, right?
Yeah.
I think
you can go and see exactly what's happening on the blockchain. You can see transactions. You can see where all the Bitcoin's at. You just don't know who owns it, but you can see everything's transparent on the blockchain.
Gotcha. So that's cool. I feel like that's actually a really good explanation. So, Mr. FOMO Crypto, tell me why. Like, why should your sister care? Why should my sister care? Like, why should my dad, who's about to retire, why should they care at all?
Yeah, no, it's a great question because I asked myself that question too. I was told about this a couple years ago, and I'm just like, that is way too confusing. That just sounds like monopoly money. Like, it doesn't sound like it's real. Billy, the professor here, he helped me kind of, he kept kind of explaining it to me more and more. And it made sense how the value of Bitcoin will continue to increase. There'll be ebbs and flows, but it just will continue to increase. Of course, that is based upon those who are purchasing Bitcoin. And lately, it's been being bought up by everybody, like Billy said. When the banks started getting involved, and why are the banks getting involved? Because banks, everyone thinks this is fake money, but if you think about when you pull a loan from a bank, they don't have any assets to cover that. It's literally just digital money that they're pulling out of the air, putting, you know, you on that digital loan, like you're that asset, they're just slapping on it. That's basically fake money. And so
fake news. With
what's that?
Fake news.
That's right, it's fake. And so with Bitcoin, yeah, it seems out there, but it's a digital money. Like there's, like Bill said, there's an encryption of Bitcoin out there, and there's, oh, I keep getting it wrong, 21 million?
Yeah.
21 million of this encryption out there. And so as more and more people buy it, the more it goes up. And so it's like, and people in gold hate to hear this comparison, but you know, what makes gold hold value? It's a piece of metal that comes out of the ground. Sure. Well, the digital crypto that's out there, the currency of Bitcoin that's out there, the digital print of it is holds value. It's because of the demand and people, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically the demand of people who are trying to have it and
so,
retain it.
So long story short, if I feel like, yep, I understand you right, is that, so in other words, like,
to answer your question.
Yeah. So Bitcoin right now, like if you were to look it up, I could share the screen. I would share the screen, but I don't want to show everyone else how many other tokens there are. But right now, Bitcoin's $54,000. So if you had one Bitcoin, that's worth $54,000. And just to get kind of a scope of what he was saying, just in the last, watch, let's see if I can, if it's going to show me, just in the last 7 days. So here is the one thing that kind of scared me a little bit about Bitcoin. And here's kind of the thing that I want to like throw in as the noob, as the guy who wasn't throwing down like, you know, 10, 20, 50 grand to buy it, whatever. Not saying you guys were, but the volatility of it. So, I mean, it hit $60,000 and literally the next day it dropped to like $54,000. Right. But I think if what you're hearing, what they're saying, like, oh, Bitcoin's going to keep on rising, you have to realize that it's an investment. Like if you're buying it today thinking it's going to be $1 million tomorrow, you're going to be sadly mistaken. But if you buy it now thinking it's going to be $100,000, you know, $200,000, you know, however many years, that's a realistic expectation. And once you start realizing that this is an investment and not just a scheme or a, you know, whatever. Cause I think so many people here, it's like, oh, it's just internet fake Ponzi scheme money. Like it's a, I don't know. There's so many like negative connotations with it, but if you think of it more as like a stock or a bond or something like that, that's going to rise over time. And yeah, if you bought a $54,000 Bitcoin today, you have a good chance that that's going to double by next year, or end of the year, who knows when. Right.
Right. Right. So, and one thing to, I mean, because what you're saying is true, like every large investing company, you know, like Fidelity and other asset companies like Guggenheim, like, I mean, some of the world's leading asset managers, banks, I mean, everybody, like you said, was dissing on Bitcoin, saying it was fake. Yeah. And as time went on, it has gained credibility. It stuck around and it has gained, you know, it was started back in 2010. And since then, it was like pennies, you know, it was pennies on the dollar. And then
To
it
buy
would
one
grow
Bitcoin.
exponentially. To buy one Bitcoin. And so if you look at the price now, it has just grown by tens, I mean, of tens or hundreds of thousands of percent to
I
where
mean,
it's at to
yeah,
now.
even if you go
So
back
now
to,
everybody,
yeah.
what's that?
I mean,
So
even if you
yeah,
go back
well,
to
right now
October,
everybody's looking at it.
yeah, you can go back to October last year, it was $1,200. Oh, $12,000, I lied.
And last year at this time, people were still skeptical. I mean, there wasn't a lot of big institutions and banks coming out like that just a year ago, coming out saying, "Hey, we're buying Bitcoin." So like this is all just happening like in the last year, where institutions and banks and even countries and some of the richest investors in the world are starting to notice Bitcoin and its scarcity and its security and its ability to retain and hold value. And they're looking at that and looking at what's happening to the US dollar being printed heavily by the government right now to keep our markets and everything afloat. They're really worried about their dollars. You know, they're worried about their, because every corporation, everybody, all these big companies, they all keep dollar, you know, they keep a dollar, like a cash amount of, you know, in
The
their,
reserves or
in
whatever.
parts of their company and their reserves. And now they're like, wow, well, look at our dollar depreciating. And so they look at Bitcoin, they go, holy cow, this is the way it's set up to only have 21 million Bitcoin. And the security of it, the way you can transact with it, and you know, they're like, we're going to start putting our money into this because it's going to appreciate and continue to gain value because they saw how much it has gained and saw the potential of where it could go potentially. And now they're putting it in their reserves. And so it's something that everybody needs to be watching and probably observing and doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I think one of the things that like so when I very first, you know, when you guys kind of got me onto this was that so like let's say the three of us decided to start a country, right? You know, we're the brother-in-law, in-law dot whatever country, and we wanted to have our own currency, right? So we're the government, we have our currency. The banks would eventually, you know, take our currency, and then the people would get the currency, right? And so obviously everybody kind of gets their share along the way. Well, cryptocurrency, one of the things that like kind of like snagged me a little bit was like, oh, it's the other way around. Like the people are the one who had it. You know, obviously the institutions doubted it, the banks forever. But now all of a sudden the banks are like, you know what? We got to get in on this. The governments will try and stop it. That's inevitable. You hear stuff like from the SEC and, you know, Janet Yellen and all that stuff and countries like India, like block, you hear all sorts of crazy things, right? But eventually the governments will be like, okay, we got to get in on this. And they'll be the last ones to the party, which means that if you did get that one Bitcoin, you know, 10 years ago and, you know, 20 years in the future, like you have an upper hand to the government, which there's not a person out there that wouldn't want that, right? And I'm not even saying I'm anti-government. I'm just saying, like, if I could get to something before the government got to, like, you know, that's a pretty good deal.
And like Billy said, they can't touch the Bitcoin because it wasn't created by them and they can't hack into it to take it over. And
Or
so, like you
tax
said,
it or.
the people can just buy whatever they want of it, of their own assets, their own dollar. And so, I mean, if you could. Basically, what and this is my what I tried to explain before, but if I knew I could give, if I could buy a Bitcoin for a dollar and I could watch that dollar multiply over and over and over and over and over again, it's you know tenfold or and more, then it's that's where it's worth it. And yeah, that dollar is going to go up and down. Because I gave my dollar to Bitcoin and they're gonna take, you know, everyone's buying and selling part of that dollar. Well, the value will continue to keep going up. And it'll have its ebbs and flows, but Bitcoin's history, and it's just getting better, is that it does. It goes, the value goes up and it drops a little bit and everyone kind of freaks out, but it goes right back up. And so there has been a history of that. And that's why the interest is, it has been growing, is because people realize, you know, oh, if I invest, I is a great chance, like I said, the risk and everything, but the great chance that my dollar will just continue to multiply.
Yeah, I mean, if you bought one Bitcoin and let's say it went to $21 million, that would multiply 388 times. That's pretty good. But okay, so let's say you're sold on it, right? So you're like, okay, these three people somehow convinced me that I want to buy Bitcoin. How do you do that? Don't speak all at once.
So it's actually getting easier and easier. You what? What's that?
I said, don't everyone talk at once.
No, it's so it's actually right. No, yeah, right. No, it's actually getting really easy to. The more adoption there is, like before, you had to go on to what was called exchanges, and there was a very limited amount of those before, and then you'd have to buy it off of these exchanges on the internet to do it. But now, you know, there's most like likely. You know, everybody knows like Square knows about Square, the credit card company. They have their Cash App. You can buy it on there. A ton of people have Robinhood. You can buy it, you know, Bitcoin on Robinhood or the Cash App. I mean, there's very popular, I mean, highly popular and very safe exchanges like Coinbase or Binance that are very popular. So it's growing. You can even buy, I don't know if you've noticed at Safeway, they have those Coinstar machines where you can turn in your coins.
Yeah.
You can convert that to Bitcoin now.
Does it print out like a little QR, like this is your Bitcoin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, like, this is cool.
Yeah. And there's Bitcoin. You know, my sister just sent me a text, and when she was in California at her kid's basketball tournament, there's a Bitcoin ATM at a gas station there in California. Wow. You know, so it's becoming easier and easier, and it's very easy to do. To all you have to do is give some information and get your link your bank account, and boom, you can start.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, right?
Not at all.
Yeah, it's really secure. I mean, they ask you a ton of questions to make sure you are who you say you are, and every one of your Bitcoin has its own, like Billy said, crypto blockchain number specific for your Bitcoin. But the other question
Kyle, if you just want to show us yours, if we can see what yours is. So we can show
that's
the
right. New. but the big question everybody asks is like, I can't afford $54,000.
You stole my next question.
That's right. Gotcha. So yeah, you don't have to buy a full Bitcoin. And apparently I learned, like stocks, you can buy a fraction of a Bitcoin, and they're called, Billy knows this, the history of Bitcoin way better than I do. But a Satoshi, Satoshi's basically is your cents of a dollar type thing. Instead of having $1 or one Bitcoin, there's all these pennies or dimes or nickels of what you can have of a Bitcoin. So you can have a fraction of a Bitcoin instead of having to worry about, I need a full Bitcoin. Whatever you put into it is multiplying.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. That's the next question I was going to ask, because I remember you came to our house in December or whatever, and like, oh, you guys should get on this. I think Bitcoin was 18 grand. I'm like, I could never afford that. And now it's 54 grand, and here I am trying to buy like 0.00001 at a time or whatever it is to just slowly chip my way there. But because again, like, even though it's 54 grand, I obviously can see the writing on the wall that it's definitely going to be worth way more than that, you know, in the future.
Yeah, I mean, if you bought a full one, yeah, every time it goes up, you know that you're going up with it. But you need to realize that if you put $250 in, well, that same multiple is happening to your $250. And so you at least know that if it's going up from when you bought into it, then you know your dollar is going up. Your investment is going up with it. And so it might not be the crazy dollar amount, but yeah, of course, the sooner you get in, like that, if you put $250 in at, you know, 50,000, when it's at $50,000 for a one Bitcoin, but if you waited until a Bitcoin was $100,000 and now your $250 is way less value than if you would have started sooner rather than later. And that's why the FOMO crypto is kind of like my thing is, like you said, it's always a risk. It's always involved in investment, but you have to realize that. And there's a lot of YouTube videos out there explaining the prediction of Bitcoin and stuff like that, but it's all based off, and Billy knows way more about this than I do, but it's all based off of what is left, because all these banks are buying it up every day, everyone else is trying to get into it, and so there's less and less more Bitcoin, and because if they're holding on to it, then the value just keeps going up.
Yeah, I mean, it really is basic economics, supply and demand. So yeah. If you could leave imparting wisdom and like what you were saying, so if you invested $250 today and let's say it hits its max $21 million, that $250 would be worth $97,000 when it tops out. So just for comparison. But so I think along those lines, like what would you recommend there, professor, to like my neighbor across the street? Like what would be just like your recommendation to get your feet wet?
You know, I think,
We are not financial advisors. We got to say that.
So my thing, and what a lot of people have done, I mean, maybe like how it started for me and probably each of you guys was I just like bought a little bit of it. Like I bought $100 of it when I first started to, you know, one of my friends introduced it to me. And just like watch it, you know, just kind of watch what happens. There's obviously cycles in Bitcoin, which we can talk about another time. But yeah, like, there's times where there are good times to buy it, and there's times that are where it's going to go down. But it's very predictable, just because of how Bitcoin works. Which is, you know, we'll get into that later. But my suggestion would just be buy a little bit of it. If you see we see countries buying it, mining, you know. Trying to obtain it. We see the richest people in the world trying to obtain it. Banks, institutions, asset managers. I mean, just everybody right now is trying to get as much of it as they can. You should probably just try to get a little bit of it because a little bit can go a long way. So buy $100 and just try it. $20.
I mean, everyone's about to get a stimulus. I'm pretty sure everybody can afford $100.
Yep.
Exactly. Just see it and watch it and just kind of look, maybe start reading about it occasionally, and you'll start to realize that, wow, this has potential, that this is this could potentially be the future of transacting. You know, it's
crazy. And hopefully just kind of wrap this episode up. But I mean, hopefully that's kind of our goal. We'll just kind of talk about, because this, trust me when I tell you, this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to cryptocurrencies and investing and stuff like that. So again, like he touched on a little bit, but like mining, like there's actually a process of how this stuff comes to be. It is a whole crazy world of how this works. And hopefully we can kind of dumb it down and make it a little more understandable. And with any luck, maybe... you know, offer some good advice for, cause I think that's the one thing, like, you know, I obviously married Kyle's sister and he obviously was looking out for us. It's not like he got some of my Bitcoin, right? But, it's just one of those things. It's like, you hear it and you're just like, oh wow, this thing's actually, I think this is legit. And I think other people should look into it. Kind of like the professor was saying, but,
definitely a risk though. I mean, I know we've been talking hype about it, but you know, it's a risk too. So you definitely want to put in whatever you're willing to lose. I'm not saying it's going to go to zero, but I mean, just like any other investment, just put
yeah. I mean, yeah, that's true. Whether you buy stocks or anything, like you gotta be willing to know that that could disappear tomorrow. And if you can't pay your mortgage or rent, like you made a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a good point. I know we're gonna wrap it up here, but yeah, it's just like people are willing to buy stocks. I think this is way easier to get into than stock. I mean, like Bill said, on your Cash App, there's a stock section and a Bitcoin section. And in your Cash App or Robinhood or whatever it might be, your bank's already connected to it. So you literally can just say, okay, I'll put in my $100 or whatever it is you want to invest to just get your feet wet. And it's really simple. It's just like any investment, but just like stocks is a liability or a risk. Cryptocurrency is the same, but it holds way more value and increases way more than any other stocks. I mean, GOP, the Dow, it's almost doubled what that has done. So,
yeah,
and that just sits there at 30,000 forever. Right, and when Bitcoin just keeps going up and up. So,
yeah. And hopefully if nothing else, you look up Bitcoin and look up some things and you can start to dip into that. But I think the goal here is to set up about five or six little lessons, so to speak, on just the, because like I said, this is the tip of the iceberg. But and then hopefully we can just talk about the future and where this stuff's kind of going. So thanks, boys. I think that was a good first episode.
Yeah, it was awesome being on here.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you for listening, and please remember that these gentlemen are not financial advisors.